If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the 85th Psalm and verse 6. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? One of the greatest signs of the need of revival is when God's people lose their joy. When they become problem-oriented instead of Jesus-oriented. When their face looks like they've lost everything and in place of that wonderful joy that I've gained everything. Psalms 85 and 6, one more time. Would you not revive us again? Oh Lord, revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you. Let's go over to Acts, the third chapter tonight. Acts, the third chapter, and I want to share some things from God's Word with you. As we enter the new year, God wants you to know that revival is for every believer. Revival is for every believer. There is not one believer that it's not God's will for that believer to experience a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Revival is God's will for every believer. In Acts the third chapter, Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. And now we see going into the third chapter that Peter and John were going up into the temple. And you remember the man was healed. And you'd think that everyone would be happy when someone's life was changed. But religion never rejoices when people's lives are changed for the better. Here in Acts the third chapter, verse 19, Peter summarizing so many things that he is saying to people that just said, well, actually, they answered in verse 12, and Peter seeing it answered the people, you men of Israel, why are you so surprised and wondering at this? Why do you keep staring at us and what's wrong with you? This man that was lame from his mother's womb has received a miracle. And Peter said, why are you so surprised? This should be normal. Why are you wondering at all this? Why do you just keep staring at us as though by our own individual power that we've made this man able to walk? Peter went on in that same third chapter to say, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, he's the one that did this. He's glorified his servant and son, Jesus. And he said, you put him on a cross, but God raised him up. And since God raised him up, this is the kind of things he's continuing to do. Because Acts the 10th chapter, verse 38 said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. Now verse 19, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, so repent. Repent, change your mind and purpose, and turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, may come from the presence of God. So this is revival. You know, many people might say, well, we've heard all there is to hear about revival. No. We haven't even started to hear all that there is about revival. Revival is so many things. Revival is change. Revival is seeing our need for God. You see, if we don't see our need for God tonight, I promise you that you're suffering not from hardening of arteries, but from the hardening of the heart. And when my heart is tender, I see my need of God. When I see my need of God, then I see the areas in my life that need to be touched. And revival is seeing our need for God. Revival is repentance. There's so many wonderful things that the Word of God brings out about the spirit of revival and what it will mean and what it will do in your life. Repentance means a change of your mind. God wants your mind to be changed, your thoughts, your appetites to be changed. Repentance, revival is turning around, going a different way, returning to God. You turn from what you're into and you run to God. You turn from the pit and you run to the Prince of Peace. You turn from that bondage and you turn and run after God. You return to God. Your sins are erased. And thank God when there's repentance, when there's change of mind, when there's turning around, and when there's returning and running back to the Lord, thank God times of refreshing will come. Revival is just like striking a match around gasoline. Revival is not having a preacher to try to encourage you one more time. What is revival? What is the spirit of revival? Well, revival is change. Revival is change. Revival is new life. You look at people that are bummed out and people that are on some kind of bondage or some kind of pill or with alcohol. I mean, they're just a walking... They're not a grateful dead. They don't even know what time of day it is. Grateful dead. Thank God I know what the real grateful dead is all about. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who died for me. Yeah, that's the kind of grateful dead that we need to be celebrating, not people looking like death warmed over all bummed out. Thank God I'm crucified with Christ. I'm a walking dead man, but I'm the happiest walking dead man you've seen in a long time. We're crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. In the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me. We experienced revival in the summer of 93. And I tell you, with all the other things that God is doing, by the grace of God, I'm reaching out, I'm hungering for, I'm pressing toward the mark of seeing greater New Testament revival in the year that is to come. Revival is seeing our need of God, realizing I have a need of God. Revival is true repentance. How do we know repentance is true? Because you turn around. When you truly repent, you truly turn around. Repentance is change. You change. Repentance is a fear of God. I'll tell you, I thank God that there is a fear of God in Pastor Bob Nichols. You know what the fear of God will do for you? When you don't know what to do, it'll hold you steady until you do know what to do. In your most frustrated day, hold steady. We used to say it so often, you don't quit on your first day and you don't quit on your worst day. Your worst day serving God is like heaven on earth compared to your best day that you ever thought you had in serving the devil. Because it was always building up for a letdown. The fear of God. I tell you, you come to a place that's not being afraid of going to hell. You just don't want to grieve the heart of God. You just don't want to get on the devil's territory because you've got so many bruises and knots in your head that tell you when you get on the devil's territory, he's going to clobber you one more time. The fear of God means a lot of other things, but those are a few insights. Revival is returning to your first love. Returning to your first love. Oh, when people first come to Jesus, they can't get enough church, they can't get enough praise, they can't get enough God, they can't get enough Word. Why someone comes to Jesus, they say, Pastor, can't we have a Bible study at 2 o'clock in the morning? I think we need to be doing something else around here. Sometimes I want to say, my Lord, don't you ever sleep? Gotta sleep sometime. Returning to your first love. That means that I love Jesus more than anything in this world. Precious lady that related the testimony to me downtown a few days ago. In the summer of 96, she had nothing. Nowhere to live. Nothing to drive. No job. No security. Nothing! But oh, thank God, she came and started coming to these services. And she gave what precious little she had. And just a few days ago, she said, I've got to tell you my testimony, Pastor Bob Nichols. She said, I had nothing in the summer of 96. Now I have a 10-room house. and the mortgage is paid up to date. She said, I have a 1996 Buick Skylark. And she said, it's in my name. The first time I've ever had a car in my name that the tow truck wasn't looking for. And she said, I'm blessed. And she said, I don't mean that I'm a wealthy person, but she said, for the first time in my life, I can reach out and start helping someone else. That is blessing. But you know what she said to me? She said, Pastor, forgive me for talking about things, but when you've had nothing, having something is certainly wonderful. How many could say amen to that? I thoroughly understood what she was saying and where her heart was coming from. And she said, the only reason I talked about having a house is because there was a time when I didn't have a place to stay. The only reason I was thankful for a car is there was a time I had nothing, nothing, nothing. But she said, you know what my goal is this year? To know Jesus. To serve Jesus. She said, I want to know my Jesus better. I want to obey my Jesus. My purpose is not things this year. My purpose is Jesus. Oh, I tell you one thing. Heaven's going to bend over backwards to bless that woman this year. Because when you're hungering and thirsting after Him, all these other things shall be added unto you. Revival is purity. Purity. That's a lost word somewhere along the lines. And I know that some people have been raised in a sewer. My heart goes out. My heart goes out to the way some people have been raised. But let me tell you something. You may have been raised in a sewer, but God wants you to start swimming in pure water. Pure water. God wants you to stop swimming in a sewer, thinking in a sewer, living in a sewer. God wants you to start swimming in pure water. Oh, what did He say? Out of His innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake He of the Spirit. Revival is purity. When you've been swimming in a river, a sewer, it is so wonderful to live pure, to have a pure mind, to be able to live pure, to go to bed pure, to sleep through the night pure, to wake up in the morning pure. It's good to be pure when you haven't been. I'll tell you, there's not a greater joy on the earth outside of being born again, like putting your head on the pillow and saying, there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Instead of laying your head on your pillow and say, my God, please don't come tonight. Don't come tonight. You can put your head on your pillow and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come on, Lord. Wished I had a little more time to do some things, but come on, Lord. Revival is purity. Purity. Doing the right thing. Revival is prayer. Thank God for prayer. I said, thank God for prayer. Revival is learning to pray and loving to pray and realizing that you may not be the greatest prayer person in the world, but God loves to hear your prayer. Prayer is talking to God out of your heart. And then revival is really believing and living the Word of God. Get you a Bible and start reading the Bible. Start getting the wisdom of God into your heart and into your spirit. Revival is tithing and offerings unto God. You say, I don't have much. You know, God is so neat. If you have 10 pencils, God said, just give me one. That's all right. Oh, you say, I only have 10 chickens. God said, that's all right. Give me one of them. And you'll have more chickens. But Lord, all I have is 10 eggs. He said, that's fine. You know, most people I know, they'd want all 10 eggs. They'd want 10 and leave you one. God said, you give me one and I'll give you 9. And I'll tell you one thing, you'll have more eggs than you know what to do with. You'll have more chickens than you know what to do with. Isn't God faithful? Isn't God fair? I mean, some greedy man's religion would have said, you give me 9 chickens and all you have is 1. But God said, just give me 1 and I'll bless those remaining 9. Oh, God is so faithful. That's revival. That's revival. Revival is a harvest of souls, telling somebody. You know, when you really get born again, you got to tell somebody. Got to tell somebody. You go out and start telling people. Revival is not only witnessing, but revival is getting involved in helping other people reach souls. Revival is missions. Revival is getting excited about coming to the house of God. I'm telling you, you didn't come to a funeral tonight. You came to a resurrection service. You didn't come to a service to tell how bad it is. We're trying to tell you how good it can be. You say, this is as good as it gets. Oh, no, it gets better all the time. For the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. You say, it can't get better than this. Oh, yes, it can. Jesus doesn't get better. Our understanding of Him just gets better. And our hunger for Him just gets better. And we just start reaching out to Him. And I'll tell you what, you love to come to church. You love to come to church. Why do people gather in bars all over the Metroplex? I mean, why do people go in there and don't have enough money to begin with and leave what money they've got in the bar and go out and get in the car and tear up what little precious little they've got? I mean, really, everything that's in that bar is going to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything the drug dealer has is going to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything this greedy world system has is going to steal, kill, and destroy. But oh, thank God Jesus came that we might have life. 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 And that more abundantly. I mean, when you're living in sin, you're backed up and you're watching anything that moves. You're watching who came through that door. You're looking if there's anything protruding under their clothing. And especially you're looking for the last person you ripped off. Because they're looking for you. You're looking for the last person that you did wrong. You're looking for the last person that you didn't do the right thing by. Oh, I'm telling you, living in sin, no wonder it makes people a nervous wreck. You tell one lie, you got to tell 100 to cover its trail, and it still doesn't cover the trail. You can't even sit with your back to the door. You're afraid to turn your back on anybody. You're afraid to sleep. You're afraid to wake up. You're afraid to live, and you're afraid to die. But oh, thank God, when you're born again, you just walk out and say, hello, world. You're looking at me and you think you're looking at what I used to be, but thank God I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. You're just looking at the tent or the tabernacle of what you used to know as me. The real me has changed. There's been a change inside of me. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and we're in the process of all things becoming new. Now cut us some slack. Have some mercy on us. We're not totally changed overnight, but inside it's different. Oh, inside our spirit, we're born again. Our sins are forgiven. Jesus is the Lord of our life. All things are becoming new. And they're going to be becoming new until you leave this world. But thank God the big one has happened. I've been born again. So revival is all of these things. Revival, yes, is being filled with the Spirit. I tell you, there's a greater power that God wants to impart into your life. God love their hearts. Some people, all they've ever known is groaning and wailing and weeping. But groaning and wailing and weeping without going on into the fullness of tongues leads to an imbalance. Your train will get off the track. Oh, thank God for the joy of being able to pray in the Spirit. I said, thank God for the joy of being able to pray in the Spirit. Revival is praise and worship. Revival is a praise unto God. You know, I was noticing coming to church, I guess they'd changed that sign. I looked up there and Marlboro, is that right? They don't even show the man's face anymore. He's hiding behind his hat. He's twirling that rope. He doesn't even want you to see his face. Because if you knew the truth of it, 9 out of 10 men who'd been on those advertisements died with lung cancer. A high percentage of those robust he-men that you saw on the big signs, they're dead. They're gone. Now they don't even let you see his face. All you can see is a cowboy's hat and he's twirling a rope. Oh, thank God I don't have my head down hiding my face with a cowboy hat twirling a rope. Thank God I've got my head up. I've got my face up. I've got my voice up. And I'm telling you that life is worth living because I've found Jesus. This is revival. Some people say, well, Brother Nichols, we're not into that revival. We're all getting deeper and deeper and deeper and... And finally, one day, you just see them putting them 6 foot under. They got so deep, they couldn't get any deeper, so they had to dig a hole and put them in. the ground 6 foot under. I want to tell you, there's nothing that'll kill you quicker than dead religion. There's nothing that'll put you under quicker than dead religion. If you're born again, you might as well enjoy the journey. If you're spirit-filled, you especially better enjoy the journey. Because revival is praise. And revival is worship. And you know, revival is forgiveness. That means forgiving your worst enemy, even if they don't deserve to be forgiven. You say, well, I just can't forgive that person. I've got a word for you. You're not forgiven. Wait a minute, preacher. What about all this you've been preaching? The Bible said if we don't forgive others, that we put ourselves in a position of unforgiveness too. We put ourselves in a prison of our own making. I don't care how ugly, how unkind, how unfair, how mean, how whatever. If you haven't forgiven, you're not forgiven. I've never said it like that before, but it just came out of my spirit. If you haven't forgiven, you're not forgiven, and I can't afford that. I can't afford that. If I refuse to forgive, that means there's an area of my life where I'm not forgiven. And that person that I feel so badly about, I'm no better off than they are. Because I refuse to forgive them, but God's saying, what about your old ugly heart? What about you? Well, but I'm different. My unforgiveness is justified. There is no such thing as justified unforgiveness. You say you don't have anything to overcome in that area. You wouldn't believe what preachers have to overcome. But there's another thing that revival is. Revival is hilarious, supernatural joy. Gladness. What you used to have to get high on drugs to try to achieve, what you used to drink until you thought you got there, and by the time you got there, you didn't remember what happened, woke up the next morning with a hangover. But oh, thank God we can come to church. Remember this, you drink enough old wine, it'll hurt you and somebody else real bad. Man that had some alcohol problems, he got back on alcohol, went out on airport freeway, and got on the wrong side of the freeway, and totaled 5 out of 6 cars that he hit with a big pickup truck. Just a miracle he didn't kill anybody. See, he had too much old wine plus. But I'll tell you one thing, you can't overdose on the new wine. Help yourself. Help yourself. With joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Not with sadness, not with bitterness, not with remorse, but with joy. There's one thing that keeps me thankful. When you deal with the dregs of humanity, I don't come out feeling better than they are. I just come out saying, thank God, but for the grace of God. Thank God Almighty, I'm free. My mind is free. My body is free. Thank God I'm free. And over in Psalms, oh, I love what the Word of God has to say. And I want to just touch on this because I'm talking about revival. This is a brand new year. And I don't want you leaving this service tonight with joy despicable, but I want you to leave with joy unspeakable. Revival is the need of the hour. Revival is the law of nature. Revival is a decision to drink or die. Revival is a hungering and thirsting after God. Revival is the law of the universe. Oh, the Bible tells us over in Psalms 126 why joy is so important. And I want to just stay there for a few moments, and I want to consider some precious things from God's Word. Thank God the Comforter has come. The Joy Giver is in this house. I said the Comforter is come. Psalms 126 said, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like those who dream. Then were our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then they said among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord, as the streams in the south. For they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he or she who goes forth bearing seed and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall without a doubt, doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them. Why is the joy of the Lord so important? Why did God come with a mighty outpouring of joy along with all the other wonderful things that God is doing in this hour? First of all, because joy will turn your captivity. The joy of the Lord will turn your captivity. The word captivity means to transport or to lead or to take into captivity. The word captivity means to be taken prisoner from a former state of prosperity and blessing. I want to say that one more time. The word captivity means to be taken prisoner from a former state of prosperity and blessing. It means to be taken a prisoner of war. Webster on captivity in his dictionary, he said it's weariness. It's a state of being a prisoner, not free. It's a state of slavery and duress. To be taken from a former state of prosperity and put into abject poverty. I tell you, the joy of the Lord will turn your captivity. Sin is captivity. Sin is bondage. Any sin, every sin, small sins, big sin, any sin that has a rope around your neck is captivity. But the joy of the Lord will break that rope of captivity. It will set your marriage free. It will set your mind free. It will set your body free. It will set you free from habits and bondages. The joy of the Lord will turn your captivity. Secondly, joy in the Holy Ghost is God's answer to end time pressure, stress, and burnout, depression, and heaviness. Oh, God, wake us up. I mean, we live in a stressed world. I told the story about a lady out at the airport with one of the airlines when I was there back around Thanksgiving. Said a lady got so irate she threw the tickets in the lady's face, slapped her on both cheeks, and was coming over the counter after her when a security guard pulled her back. I mean, people are living on the edge. I said people are living on the edge. Road rage is a common thing. People kill you if you don't drive like they want you to drive. Joy in the Holy Ghost is God's answer to end time pressure, stress, burnout, depression, heaviness. Thank God, joy in the Holy Ghost is God's answer to what's wrong with so many, even professing believers tonight. So joy will turn your captivity. Joy, thank God, will rebuke and set you free from that end time pressure. But you know that joy in the Lord will restore your visions and dreams? Did you know that joy in the Lord will restore your visions and dreams? You know the first thing that happens when you get discouraged and depressed, this little devil gets on one shoulder and then he gets on the other shoulder. One talks in one ear, one talks in the other ear, and said, it's all over, nothing good will ever happen to you. You blew it. God doesn't love you. The church doesn't love you. You don't even love yourself. And I mean, little devil gets on one shoulder, little devil gets on the other shoulder, and they talk, and you start listening, and before long, you're worse off than depressed. You're under the barrel. Thank God for the joy of the Holy Ghost. It will restore your visions and dreams. It's not too late. Tonight is a divine appointment for many. If I counted correctly, some 20 people came forward on a Thursday night. I wish you'd go all across the Metroplex and in the middle of all the bad news that you may hear tomorrow, say, I was in a church where 20 people came forward to commit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's shouting ground. Thank God the lights are on. Thank God the lights are on. It's not too late. It's not too late for your vision and your dream to come alive. Well, joy in the Holy Ghost proves to this ungodly world that the Lord hath done great things for you. I said, joy in the Holy Ghost proves to this ungodly world that the Lord hath done great things for you. You know, it doesn't take a brilliant person to go back to the day of Pentecost all together in one accord. And you know, there's holdouts all across this land. Say, bless God, nobody's getting me in one accord with nothing. I march to my own drum beat. I do my own thing. You just dare and try to get me to line up with what you want me to do. Well, okay. And you know, there were 120 on the day of Pentecost. There were 500 that heard it, and I guess the ratio is about the same today. I wonder how many minutes, how many seconds, how many hours that all those above 120 up to 500 said, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. Out of here, see you later. Tired of hanging around church. They've been preaching this visions and dreams stuff, been telling us something good's going to happen. We've been here, we've lost, all our sick leave is up on our job. Now it's really going to start costing us. I mean, we've been in this upper room on sick leave. We had many days for sick leave. Now we've used up our sick leave. And it's really going to start costing us. Before it really starts costing us, we'll see you later. Report to us if anything great happens. But thank God, the people that got beyond their sick leave started getting well. The people that got beyond their sick leave, their minds started clearing up. The people that got beyond sick leave, thank God, devils began to flee. Habits and bondages began to go. And God looked down and saw 120 in one place, in one accord. In one place, in one accord. Never has the kingdom of God had more ideas on how it should be done. Well, they do it this way in this state, and they do it this way in a certain city, and they do it this way over there. Why don't we just go back to the Word of God? Why don't we just go back to the book of Acts? Let's see what they did in the book of Acts. Because the last chapter really hasn't been written. In the book of Acts, Jesus told them, commanded them, go to the upper room and tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. Now, you know, it doesn't take a brilliant person to understand that. I go to the upper room. I stay there, and I stay there until something happens. Now, either I believe that, and I do that, or I don't believe that, and I do my own thing. And I don't know about you, but every time I've ever gotten in trouble is because I did my own thing. Oh, I know the Bible says this. I know God says this. I know. That's the problem. I knew. But. And so I went off to do my own thing. I'll tell you, I am weary of my own thing. I want to do God's thing. I want to do the will of God. I want to do the truth of God. If God says go to an upper room, okay, let's go up there. It's better than any other room in the city. It's better than any other room in Jerusalem. It's better than any other room anywhere else in the world. I'll tell you, we'd be going back to Israel in just a few, seemed like just a few days, and it will be a few days. We were supposed to have had the upper room all to ourselves. And we got in there, and we no sooner just were praising the Lord. And I'll tell you, two rude groups came in. Rude, very rude. Religion can be terribly rude. They were of those who make no noise. And they were of those who have no joy. And they don't want you to have any joy. And here we were trying to praise the Lord. We were there first. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord God came on me. And that street preaching spirit got a hold of me. You know how we all start out on the street corner. You've got to out-preach the bus. You've got to out-preach the unbelief. You've got to out-preach all the craziness you're dealing with. And I just said, bless God, the devil's not going to run us out of the upper room. Devil's not going to run me out of the upper room. Devil's not going to cheat us out of what God has for us in the upper room. And I just started preaching and started exhorting our group. And boy, I'll tell you, our group hit the deck. I mean, they began to pray in the Spirit, and it was no small prayer meeting. And some folks got all upset. It's their problem. We got there first. We know what an upper room is all about. I don't know everything, but I do know what an upper room is supposed to be all about. An upper room is supposed to be all about more of Jesus and full of the Holy Ghost. Revival smokes out all those dead folks. And I mean, there were people there of other languages. I cannot tell you that I had the ability to speak their language, but there was a language of Jesus. There was a language of the Spirit. I forget that delegation. They said, say it in Greek, say it in Greek. I said, I do not know Greek, but I know Holy Ghost. You pray with us. So we all just began, they prayed in Greek and or whatever they were praying in. And before long, the unbelievers left, and the believers were the majority. And we had church in the upper room. I am sick and tired of being intimidated by this world system. I'm sick and tired of being intimidated by the so-called masters of religion. The specialists who know everything about everything, yet they're not winning souls or doing anything for God. I thank God I pastor a church where 20 people can come to the Lord on Thursday night. They didn't have to wait for Thursday night. Thank God for Sunday morning, but on Thursday night, praise God. At least, and maybe there's 21, but I count at least 20 that came forward on Thursday night. And that was before I even got to preach, so it couldn't be my great preaching. It was the great Holy Spirit of God that touched people's hearts. Make no mistake about it. I know there's smoother ways to do things, and I know there's all kind of ideas, and everybody's got a different system, and we're trying to get this thing down like some multi-level, you know, and we've got it all computerized, and you know, we know how to buzz, and we know how to shake and quake a little bit and then cool it. We know that. Let me tell you something. This church has just said, Holy Ghost, we welcome you in this house. Jesus, we welcome you in this church. Oh, Jesus, be Lord of Calvary Cathedral International. It's not our great preaching. It's not our great singing. It's not our great personalities. But oh, it's our great infilling of the Holy Ghost that's going to shake where you work and where you live and shake this city as never before. Joy in the Holy Ghost proves to this ungodly world that the Lord hath done great things for you. I believe in advertising in the newspaper. I'm a radio preacher. I've been one for some 20 years. We've been on television. We'll be again in God's time and in God's will. But they didn't run any spots on television. They didn't announce anything on the radio. They didn't have time for a mail out. All the office staff was on their face before God crying out for whatever this infilling of the Holy Spirit was all about. I know we're to touch people, to reach out to people, to love people, to follow up on people and all of that. But now listen very carefully. The Spirit of the living God brought to the doorstep of 120 people who dared to pray until, who dared to be together in one accord. Please get a hold of this. What's the formula? Is it this? Is it 8 steps? Is it 3 steps? It's just obeying God. Why, he said it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, God said, I'll forgive their sins, I'll heal their land. That's Old Testament. And here he is over in Acts 3:19 saying, repent, change, turn around, run to God. And get ready for times of refreshing. I'll tell you, a sad church has never won a world, their world, to the Lord. It's a happy church. It's a happy church. It's a joyful church. Oh, blessed are they that know the joyful noise. Two more, joy in the Holy Ghost helps bring in the end time harvest. And I've already touched on that. I'll tell you, God knows how to bring in the end time harvest. I said God knows how to bring in the end time harvest. Here's another one. Joy in the Holy Ghost will fill your mouth with laughter. You say, where are you getting all this stuff in Psalms 126? Read the book. It's there. They went out sowing, rejoicing, praying, weeping. They came back shouting, bringing their sheaves with them. I tell you, joy in the Holy Ghost will bring in the end time harvest, but I tell you this one thing, joy in the Holy Ghost will fill your mouth with laughter and your tongue with singing. Joy in the Holy Ghost will fill your mouth with laughter and your tongue with singing. Yes, joy in the Holy Ghost gives supernatural strength because the joy of the Lord is your strength. But I tell you, when you get happy in the Lord, you know, even this world has figured this out. The doctors had made a great discovery, and they were encouraging all the patients to check out funny old movies like, you know, those terrible X-rated movies like Laurel and Hardy and Lucy and, you know, some of those others. Things that make you laugh. You say, well, Brother Nichols, that's not even spiritual. Yeah, but even this world has figured out that it's better to laugh than to be depressed. Depressed people take their life. Depressed people will get all over you. Hurting people will hurt somebody else. But happy people are a lot more enjoyable to be around. They discovered that happy people heal faster. Happy people heal faster. Oh, you say, Brother Nichols, I've just been wounded. I'm telling you how to get healed. Get happy. Rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Cure that depression, that stress, that burnout, that anger, that rage. Oh, there's so much rage. Man was telling this story about a man in jail who's killed four people. Rage. He can't control his rage. And he's in trouble for the rest of his life. And his mother named him a name that denotes a loser. I'm not even going to give the name, but his mother named him a name that whenever you called his name, it screams, loser, loser, loser. But I'll tell you, Satan gave you the name loser. Satan gave you the name loser. But when Jesus saved you, he gave you the name of winner, more than a conqueror, success. My name's no longer loser. My name's no longer gloomy. My name's no longer bad luck. My name is no longer terrible things that happen. Oh, gloomy. But oh, thank God there was a new name written in glory. I said there was a new name written in glory. Oh, whether it's on the mission field, whether it's in the work of the Lord, whether it's in a factory, office, shop, job, campus, wherever you are, keep the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You say, how do I get into joy? First of all, you get a good grip on both sides of your face and you do a major facelift. This is the original facelift, a smile. Because it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. Ladies, your face is going to stay younger longer if you rejoice, if you're happy. Happy faces stay younger longer. Sad faces get old quicker. That goes for you fellas too. Oh, they that go forth rejoicing, bearing precious seed. The world says we're crazy, but God says we're wise. The world says we're giving it away. God says we're sowing seed. The world says we're dreaming, but God said, that's all right. I love visions and dreams. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed without a shadow of a doubt, is going to come back rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.